Going to be looking at these a little bit today. I don't know how far we'll get, one or two or something other. Maybe we'll continue along next week on some of these. As I was studying and praying and looking at what God would have me to do, I looked at a little thing I have on my wall that somebody had given me about messages, and kind of a basic outline for messages and sermons and things like that. And it says, make sin more hated, make God more feared, make Christ to be more highly valued, and make the path of duty more clearly defined. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take thy name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That is the first, and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. These are the first four commandments. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we open up your word of God that you guide and direct and show us what you want us to learn today from your precious word. And let us take this first commandment and let us apply it to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. These first commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The other commandments have to do with our relationship with man and our fellow man. In the outline that I had, it says, make sin more hated. Hate is a very strong word in the Bible. He says, if you hate someone, it's next to as to murdering them. But the question is, why should we hate sin? How do we learn to hate sin? And then the next thing is, how do we learn to hate anything? Some of it's through training. Sometimes it's through schooling. Many times it's through experience. Examples. Sometimes we just need to have things defined as to what they are. And by known results. And not last but not least, our conscience. So how do we learn to hate sin? By our conscience. By what we're taught. By the Word of God. Now think about this. We've got some little guys back there in the nursery. Do you have to teach them to lie? Do you have to teach them to be stingy? Mine. Mine. You know why? Because we're born with the Adamic from Adam nature. God made Adam, made him perfect. Holy and pure and perfect. Gave him one commandment, and he broke it. Did one, and he broke it. Something else I've been studying about. You only have one chance to do it right the first time. But we have sin in our blood. It flows through our blood. That's why Jesus had to be born of the Virgin Mary, because his blood would be holy and from God. But we know what wrong is. The letter we read from Brother Bob Johnston. They was amazed that somebody would come up to the side of the mountain and tell them about Jesus. The Satan's already been there. The voodoo man that got saved and gave all of his stuff to Brother Bob. He knew what evil was. But to learn to hate sin. One of the reasons we should hate sin is by what it does. It destroys. And it contaminates. It destroys and contaminates lives, people's lives. It destroys and contaminates homes and families. And as we read here, sometimes generations. It affects and contaminates and destroys churches, towns, governments, countries, even nations of people, environments. Anything that has to do with God, sin contaminates and sin destroys. Anything that has to do with God. That is one of the devil's goals, is to destroy anything that has anything to do with God. Why is he attacking the home? Because that is what God's is based upon, the plan of the home. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a model of our relationship with God, the home is. The home is a foundation and the basis of everything that we live upon or based upon. And families. Sin separates families. Turns them against each other and destroys nations and wars. And all kinds of things have been traced back to sin. Anything that sin comes in contact with, it contaminates and will destroy. Many times it is a very slow and painful process of what sin does in lives and homes and families and countries. And the effect of sin reaches into eternity. The things that happened in the Garden of Eden reached into eternity. God knew what was going to happen in the garden, and he had a plan for salvation with Jesus Christ. He knew what was going to happen, so he had a plan to take care of it. Sin affects God. Sin affects you. Sin affects your neighbors. And sin makes you die sooner. All sins in some way or another will come in and affect the body one way or another. Worry affects the body. We know all about smoking and drugs and all of those things. But still, there's not one sin that doesn't some way affect the body and the mind. How many families have you seen tore apart by alcohol? How many families have you seen destroyed by drugs and people killed and murdered? How many families have you seen and lives that are just nothing? Because of sin. We've seen what sin can do. We've seen the results of sin. But sometimes we think, well, that's not me. That's them over there. It's not going to affect me. I mean, I've been lucky so far. It's not going to affect me. Sin never affects only one person. And sin is never satisfied. In Proverbs, Solomon, or Ecclesiastes, I don't remember where it was, Solomon talked about it being like a horse leech. A big old fly-like thing that never is never satisfied. And hell is never full. There's always more room there. So is heaven. He says, I went out in the highways and byways and compelled them to come in, and there's still room in God's house. What is sin? The simplest definition for sin is anything that we do that God does not approve of. Anything. And anything that we're supposed to do that we don't do is sin. The big words, omission and commission. But basically, it's anything you do that you're not supposed to do and not doing what you're supposed to do. In other words, you can sit home all day on the couch and read your Bible and pray and be sinning. Because he's got something else for you to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading your Bible and praying. But you become like the Dead Sea, everything going in and nothing coming out. It has to be used. Love to be love has to be used. We have come desensitized to sin. We have forgotten to blush. The very first commandment here is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Before me. In front of me. Ahead of me. Is there anything more important in your life than God? What becomes between you and your prayer time? Well, that's more important than God. What becomes between you and your Bible study? That's more important to God to you. What becomes between you and your church? That's more important to you than God. What becomes between you and witnessing? That's more important to you than God. What becomes between you and your giving? That's more important to you than God. We studied about integrity in Sunday school class with David. It says, I walked in mine integrity and in thy truth. We have to be honest with ourselves. You can't lie to God, even though we try. We try all the time to know him and lie to him and make excuses and all kinds. Look what Adam and Eve. Adam says, that woman you gave me. What did Eve say? It was that serpent you made. What did God say? You're a sinner. But listen. God's standards are perfect. God's law is perfect. It wasn't established by Congress and the House of Representatives and the House of Senators and voted on. It wasn't. He didn't involve anybody in his law because his law is perfect. And if that big, huge, enormous two-letter word, if you could keep the law, you could go to heaven. But that means you're perfect because God's law is perfect. And what's he say? If you live by the law, you're going to be judged by the law. Remember, David says, judge me. Examine me. Prove me. Try my reins. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If there's anything in our life that comes between us and God, prayer time, Bible's time, all those things I listed, anything, anything, anything that comes between you and God, that is you're putting something before God. You're putting something ahead of God. You're putting something above priority in your life than God. And that is the three-letter word, sin. Mrs. Wood, remember she passed away here a few weeks ago. Pastor Wood's wife for many years. She was getting very ill towards the end. And she was mad because she would go to sleep while she's trying to pray. She was mad. It made her mad because she went to sleep when she tried to pray because her body was so weak and so tired. That's somebody that loves Jesus. But we don't do that, do we? We have to schedule it or wait or in between commercials or whatever, huh? David said morning, noon, and night. He said in the epistles, pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean you walk around all day with your eyes closed like this. You're going to run into the wall. But it means have your heart in contact with God ever before your eyes. Some things you need to pray about right now. Not when you get home. God, lay me down to sleep. No. Sometimes you need to pray right now. Right where you're at. Somebody says, would you guys pray over all the meals? Well, we only pray at Christmas and Thanksgiving. Somebody told us that were the meals. In Matthew chapter 22, there was a lawyer that came to Jesus and asked him, what is the greatest commandment of all? What Jesus said? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he had one other one that we won't get to this morning, the second commandment. You know why this is the first commandment? Because it's the most important commandment. And if you can't get past the first commandment, you're not going to get to the others. And Jesus summed it up he covered more areas. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Does God have all of your heart? Is there anything or anyone that you love more than Jesus? Remember Abraham and Isaac? What did God tell them to do? God told Abraham to go up to the top of the mountain and sacrifice Isaac. His only son he had then, by Sarah. What do they do? They leave the very next morning early. Him and some servants. Isaac carries the wood. They take some fire. So they didn't have matches back then. Takes a knife. Goes up top of the hill where God told him. He builds an altar with stones. Lays Isaac upon the altar. Binds him up. And raises a knife. getting ready to plunge it into Isaac. And he says, Abraham, Abraham. As if he stopped him. Abraham loved God more than Isaac. Abraham trusted God. Because he went up the top of the mountain and says, we will come back again. He knew. God's not going to have you kill somebody like that. No. But it was a test of Abraham. He says, now I know you love me. Does God have all your heart? Does God have all of my heart? That's what Jesus says. What's the next thing he said? With all thy soul. Your life, your being, your existence, your own life. Your own life. What did Jesus tell him? What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? There were some people who had a little object lesson. They had $20 million. And a pistol in it, in the suitcase. He said, will you pay Russian roulette for $20 million? Spin it, 1 in 5 chance. They thought about it. They thought about it. It's a gamble. He asked this one person, well, will you sell one of your eyes for $10,000? Will you sell both of them for $20,000? No way, man. But he's willing to shoot the gun. You value your eyes more than you do your life? Does he have your soul? Does he have all your life? You see, if you step off into eternity, not knowing if you're saved, you're gambling. And not for just 20 million, not just for 100 million. You're gambling with eternity. I'm not a gambler, never have been. I work too hard for what I've got. Not a person of chance. But you see, God's not a gambler either. And he doesn't expect you to be a gambler. A gamble is you don't know what the results are. With God, you know what the results are. There's no gambling with God. There's no gambling with eternity. Because the Bible plainly says what will happen to the soul when it dies. As Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He knows who I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul knew that he was going to go to heaven when he died because Paul had trusted the Lord as his Savior, and he knew that. 1 John 5:13, these things are written so that ye might know. You can't know. That's not what God says. The only reason that people do not know is because they don't believe what God says. God's not going to let you step off into eternity on a maybe so or hope so or I don't know so. It's very plain. It's very simple. Does he have your soul? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, whenever it comes time for you to close your eyes for the last time, that you'll wake up with Jesus? Hope so is the same as no. I'm not sure is the same as no. The last thing he said, after love and heart and soul, is the mind. Does God have your entire mind? Didn't have mine. Are there thoughts in your mind that should not be there? Then he does not have your mind. Then we have not kept the greatest commandment of all, as Jesus said it is. Does Jesus have complete control over your will? Then he does not have control over your mind. Jesus says this is the greatest commandment of all. If we have broken the greatest commandment of all, then that makes us the greatest sinners of all. Makes common sense, doesn't it? That's why we need a great Savior. Because we are great sinners. What are you going to do with those sins? Take them with you? You can do that. That's your call. That's your choice. And take them right where they came from. To hell with you. That's all that's in the Bible, folks. It's the only thing that's in the Bible. You see, I know God loves me. You know he loves you. He cares for you. Somebody asked Jesus, how much does he love you? He stretched out his hands. That's how much he loves you. I kind of think one was pointed east and one was pointed west. I don't know. Because it says as far as the east is from the west, that's where your sins are going to be. And you can never go east far enough to start going west. You can go north far enough to start going south, but you never can go east far enough to go west. But that's what Jesus done for us and for me. Am I a great sinner? Yes. Do I keep everything? No. Sometimes, but not always. Why? Because I've got other gods in my life. Not that they should be there. It's not an excuse. But God challenges you and me to be perfect. He is our model. He is our example. But I'm willing to let Him work in my life. I want Him to work in my life. I want Him to make me better. There was one time in my life that I was without sin at all. By when I was 5 or 6 years old and I got saved. That one time, I was without sin, totally and completely. And then I stood up and walked outside. But I'm forgiven. Because I can't live a good enough life to be saved. He says He keeps our salvation. He's the one that does it for us. He's the one that covered me in His blood, washed away my sins. He's the one that keeps me holy in here. Someday I'll be rid of this old evil mind. It'll be in the dirt and the dust and the worms. He'll take this so perfect soul that He saved and cleansed and sealed into the day of redemption with His Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our salvation. And He'll take that to heaven. And someday He's coming back. And I'll get a new body. That's a perfect one. That's worthy to walk the streets of gold. You know, most of our bodies we wouldn't mind being rid of. They're getting wore out. And they cause us trouble. Oh, we do everything we can to make them look better, smell better, and all of those. We do everything we can. And why we have to do that? Because it's corrupt. That's why. You don't think your body's corrupt, smell your feet. You'll find out divvered up. Hey, I don't miss this old body. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's sin. Adam's feet didn't stink till sin came in. Eve didn't stink until sin came in. But God will make you perfect. He starts with the inside and works His way out. He starts with your soul. Has there been a time in your life that you asked Jesus to save you? That's your call. If you haven't, then why? You will never understand at all I've been a Christian for many years and serving the Lord for many years. I don't understand it all. I don't know anybody that understands it all. But I understand salvation. I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, sinless, and died and gave His life on Calvary for me. He rose from the grave and is alive today. And I know He loves me. He wants to be my Savior. Turn from the old way and turn to Jesus and ask Him to be your Savior. And then He'll start working in your life. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know what God has for you. I don't know what God wants to do in your life. But God does. And you do. Well, I don't know. Well, just give in to God and let Him tell you. Dear Jesus, we just ask as we take this time, as we take this most important time of all the services, that You'll touch people's hearts. And if there's one or more here that's not saved, that today will be their day of salvation. And those sins that we have in our life, God, that we'll lay them on the altar and get rid of them and give them up and turn our back on them. And strive to be close to You. We ask this in Jesus' name.